Okay.
Or? No, there was sound as well. So, welcome to this last session of the day. The topic is Microsoft System Center Configuration Manager Community Jewels. I hope you're in the right room, all of you. So, let's get started immediately. My name is Jörgen Nilsson. I work for OneWin down in the south of Sweden. So all the other Swedes here, they will probably refer to me as half Danish, actually. But I'm still Swedish. With me today, I have Stefan Schörling.
Stefan Schörling. I'm working as a consultant with Lumagate in Sweden. I'm also from the south of Sweden. So I'm actually half Finnish, but that's...
What are we going to say about Dave now? Well, we have actually Dave Randall with us as well from the Microsoft product team. That's actually a surprise as we're talking about community tools. The next surprise is that he isn't here yet. But that's perhaps more a surprise for us. No, he will be here, I'm sorry. He will be here, I'm sure. So, what are we going to talk about during this session? Well, we're going to talk about community jewels, as we said it. Well, it's great tools created by great people and shared by great people, basically. So I would like to start by thanking everybody who contributes in any way in the community, in forums, in blogs, whatever. You're doing a great job and making this session possible as well. The next thing I'm going to say is that it's impossible for us to cover all the tools that are available out there in 70 minutes. So if you're missing a tool and wondering why the tool isn't with us, you should take that up with Stefan because he's bigger than me. So I won't answer those questions at all, actually. So what we focused on is the tools that we actually use the most ourselves, the tools that perhaps could be a bit odd for some. Some of them are probably well known for you who are experienced admins. And we also have thought that some tools that haven't been updated for a long, long time we won't show either. But we have created all the links are gathered, but we'll cover that in the end of the section. So, Stefan, how is this session going to be like?
So we divided it in actually four sections. First of all, the installation section, where we cover installation and some configuration tweaks. Then we're going to move over to OSD, and then application management, and finally client operations. So that's the four sections. First of all, we're going to cover some hydration kits. I know some of you attended the pre-conf on Sunday. Johan Alvemark has a great hydration kit to do installation for lab and test. It's based on MDT, so you basically download it from this link. You import all the things you need. On the link here, you have everything described in a step-by-step guide. So that's good for test and environment. Another hydration kit that's available is the PowerShell hydration kit. That's based on PowerShell. Features of it that it's actually downloading all the things you need, almost everything, but there's some certain things you need to download manually. But we won't go into any demo of this one because there's a certain presentation tomorrow in this matter. So tomorrow morning or tomorrow afternoon, actually, you can follow this one. So that's the thing you need to. The challenge here is to set up a test environment. And to do that real quick, you can do that with these tools. So then we have tweaks. There's a Swedish guy called Ola Hallengren. He has a community script that he's done to do SQL maintenance. The challenge with this is that when you use Configuration Manager, there's a built-in task to do the rebuild indexes, and that task doesn't always work. So Ola has a tool to do this. So we're going to walk you through this. We're going to jump directly into the demo for that. So let's move over.
Is this tool commonly used, Stefan, by SCCM admins?
Actually, it's not. That's why we're showing it. So it's not only for SCCM, it's for SQL in general. So, but there's a lot of things going on with this. Microsoft showed it a few years ago at MMS, where they do the... actually, MSIT is using it internally. So first of all, we're going to do the SQL Management Studio. So if we move over to that one. So if we first jump into the config console, I'm going to show you the built-in task we have. Go to the site, mark it, and then we have site maintenance tasks. At the bottom here, we have a task called rebuild indexes. That's the one that's not currently working. It's kind of broken. It works sometimes and not always. So my recommendation is to not use it and use this solution instead. So to set up, okay, Twitter is on. Nice. So we first move on to the SQL Management Studio. Steve Thompson has made a great post about this. To implement this solution, first, my recommendation is to create a database where you store all these jobs in. So we create the database, first of all. Call it dbmaint. Create the size, 10 megabytes. Change the options on the recover model to simple. Okay, now we created a database. So if we have here, we have a tool from Eula as well, which is a script that checks the database for the fragmentation level of the indexes. So if we open this one up, it will check the fragmentation level of the indexes on the database. So first of all, we started CMS01, run it against this database. This can be run on any database to check the fragmentation of the indexes. So as we see here, there are some indexes with fragmentation. And what it does, when we have fragmentation on the indexes, we will have low performance on the Configuration Manager console. Updating the collections, updating views, updating statuses of messages will be slower if we don't have this enabled. So if we open up Eula script, the thing we need to change to implement the solution is default, it will install on the master database. So we need to update that. We also need to change the four things here. If we want to create jobs, we want to need to change the backup directory. And if we want to log all the actions the script is doing to a table, we can do that. So we do that by changing here, dbmaint. A backup directory you want to use. CBackup will be fine in this demo. To run it, it's using the SQL Server agent, so we need to start the agent to have it running. So we start that one off first. So if we extract this one, we go into jobs. Oh, great. We will see that there's only one default task, sys policy purge history enabled. So we go to the script again. We execute it. Command successfully completed. If we do it, refresh here, we see that there's a lot of tasks created. So it actually created a command log cleanup. It created tasks for doing database backups of the databases. We have an integrity check of the databases, and we have the task we're after, the index optimize. And then we have output file cleanup. This work will create log files on the database or on the file system, which we also need to clean up. So I'm going to show you that. By default, when we open this one up, It's using SQL command to enable a task here. So we need to if we want to do it on all databases or only on all the user databases, we can change it in the task here. So default, it will use all the user databases in the installation. If you only want to do it on the SUSDB or the Config Manager database, you can enter that database here. So let's kick that one off. So now this task is running. It went successfully. That's perfect. So what you want to do is set up this task to do run on a scheduled basis. You want to have it once per week. I recommend it doing it on a weekday or weekend, of course, unless you don't have production on that day. So. Okay. When this task runs, it will actually create log files on the SQL Server, which we want to do a cleanup of. So under logs, you will see all the index optimized tasks being run here. So if you don't enable the cleanup task, the log files will end up here forever. So enable the cleanup jobs as well. So that's basically how you set that one up end to end. It's really simple, and it will increase the performance in your environment. So.
Okay, thank you, Stefan, for that SQL lesson in index management. Note that Dave still isn't here, and we're not getting that nervous about that fact. So OS deployment. This was a big task for us. There's like so many cool tools for OSD out there. But we didn't want to make this session just about OSD because there's other sessions and that's not what we want to do. We want to show tools, right? So we actually choose actively not to show many tools like fellow MVP Niall Brady's HTA for Forefront for OSD. I'm sure he will take that up with you, Stefan, I hope.
Yeah, I will.
There's also a lot of other tools we don't show. But what we focused on is perhaps some bit other tools and, of course, MDT, which must be mentioned. Rufus isn't the name of Stefan's dog, if you think that's the why it's there. Rufus is actually a great, great tool for creating a bootable USB drive if you haven't used it before. It's much, much better than the built Windows 7 USB DVD download tool that many of us uses. And the big difference is that it actually supports FAT and FAT32, so we can actually create a bootable USB drive to use for UEFI computers. I'm gonna talk slower now. So that's a really, really cool tool. Just download it, run it. Perfect for creating bootable USB sticks, definitely. We have another little bit odd tool as well, created by fellow MVP Michael. I won't even try to pronounce his last name, because then it will be the funniest session so far. What you actually can do with it, it actually can do two things. You can actually extract installed drivers on a machine that you have installed, and then it will export it to a folder structure, which there's a script that you can just import them in Configuration Manager directly. I'm not sure if U1 is here, but is this a good solution? No, probably not. Is it a universal solution and the solution to all driver problems? No, it's definitely not. But it's great in some certain scenarios. I've been working the last couple of years with a lot of healthcare business, and there's a lot of machines that are PC-based in the healthcare industry that you don't want to know, basically. And in many of those cases, it's hard to find the drivers for them because the vendor perhaps is not a PC vendor. It's a vendor of healthcare machines instead. And in these solutions, this has actually been the only way we can reimage those machines, because there's no other way to get the drivers for the machine. So it's not a universal solution for all driver problems, but it could still be really useful in certain specific scenarios. And Dave joined us as well. Whew, nice. So this is also perhaps not a tool, but it's a really cool solution that I really think you should know about if you haven't used it before. And it's the possibility to handle and delegate the permissions to unprovisioned computers in the SCCM console. Because we don't want to, as Kent covered yesterday, we don't want to have all our collections limited to all systems. And we perhaps want to delegate permissions on a lower level on the collection structure. And in that case, you will have a lot of problems with the unknown computer objects because they are only visible in all systems collection. So there's actually a blog that you should look at, download. It will create a collection for you and will create a new security role that you can assign to those admins so they actually can manage the unknown computer objects. So that's also a good tip if you haven't used it before. Did I forget anything, Stefan?
No, I think you got it right.
Good. So the MDT, Stefan. We're not going to show Microsoft Deployment Toolkit. There are other sessions for that. It still is an awesome tool.
Yeah, it is. And there's still a lot of people not aware of that it exists. So we just want to mention it. So why do you want to use the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit? Because there's certain scenarios where you want to store information about the computer records. So if you, for an example, use computer variables and you store them in Configuration Manager, if you delete a computer record, that will disappear. So you need a database to store those values in. And MDT is a great tool to use for that. So MDT is also consisting of a lot of other best practices regarding deployment. So that's why we wanted to highlight it. There's also a lot of front ends out there. But with the new version of MDT, there's something called the UDI, user-driven installations, which will work in some deployment scenarios you have. So if you haven't checked the MDT out, so please do that.
And of course, it integrates with Configuration Manager and adds lots of new stuff for us as well. And as Stefan said, the database is really, if you don't have a database with all your computer and language settings and everything, this could be an option. If you're an orchestrator, you orchestrate the information into the MDT database instead into computer variables, as computer variables are lost with the computer object. So that's a good, that could be a way to solve it. I'm sure someone else has another idea on how to solve it as well. But that could be a way to solve it at least. So now we're getting to the cool stuff. Application management. So now we have installed it, we have started playing around with OSD. The next stuff we want to do is actually deploy applications, right? This is probably one of the biggest tasks we're doing with Configuration Manager, as it has many different uses, though. So we have a couple of tools here. One thing about the community that's really cool, I won't say which tool it is, but we had a huge problem with one of the tools when we tested out our demos. And the cool thing with the community is that we just dropped the guy who wrote the tool a mail. It took like 15 minutes. He said, wow, that's not good that I have that problem yet. I'll fix it immediately. That's really cool. That's really cool, that's for sure. So let's start with the PS App Deployment Toolkit. I will probably say that I love this tool the most for more tools than this, because it's hard to rank them, and I get quite excited about them all. So, and the PS App Deployment Toolkit is the tool I love the most. And the reason is that it solves many of the common problems we have when we're doing application management. Best example would be you want to upgrade Office. Link is constantly running on the machine. How are you going to do it? You need to be able to prompt the user somehow. You need to be able to close the link, for instance. You want perhaps to show a countdown. You perhaps want to be a user to be able to postpone the installation. There's so many things, and I've written a lot of scripts the last 10 years to do this. But I've stopped now because I use this instead, because I can't do half the stuff they have already put in this tool for us. So if you haven't checked it out, I really, really recommend that you do it. And we're going to spend a couple of minutes showing it as well. Yes, I wasn't paying attention before.
Number five.
Okay, great. Thanks. Is it my machine? Yeah, it was. So, in this machine, I have Adobe Reader installed. It's 11:04. Adobe Reader probably wants us to close Internet Explorer to be able to do the upgrade. So I'll start Internet Explorer as well. Probably won't get to any page. Hope you haven't been using a special page, Stefan. Adobe 11:06, I want to install it. So let's hope this works. First needs to download everything. And then it actually minimizes all active screens as well. So it actually minimizes everything and shows this dialog. So here I said that the Internet Explorer can't be running. I can choose to close the program. I can choose to defer the installation to a later time. I can do that 3 times. Okay. Okay, I won't use Zoomit for that one. And I can select continue. And if I try continue and say, oh, I won't close Internet Explorer, of course it will recheck it for me as well. So let's say I will, I can close it from here. Yeah. I will change it in 1 minute. The question was if you can change the logo at the top. I will change it to a Swedish flag in a couple of minutes. Or Danish. Whatever. So the installation is running. You can create your own balloons down here as well. You can have your own installation progress up here showing if you don't want the built-in one for the installation to show. And you can have a nice little message saying to the user, wow, now you can start using your new fantastic version of Adobe Reader in this case. But it could have been Office. You could have prompted it to the beginning saying that this Office upgrade will take 25 minutes, so go have a cup of coffee before you start it. So, as I said, I really love this. I need to show a lot of stuff now. To start with, we have a log file. If I'm quiet, it's because I can't do 2 things at the same time. So we have a lot of log files. So each time it runs it. That's better. So each time it runs a command, it will create a log file for that command. It will also log the MSI information as well, so we can troubleshoot if we need to. So it's really nice. So if you open one of the log files, we can... Wally isn't in the house, right? So everybody uses CMTrace in the room. So here we can see the logs that's outputted from the app deployment toolkit. And while we're in here as well, if you haven't seen it before, you can do arrow lookup in CMTrace. Probably the number one feature I use 10 times a day, 15 perhaps. So if you only type in 5, which should be access denied, it will actually look up the arrow for you if you haven't tried it before. I think we can look up Yuan's favorite arrow as well. Could be that I mistyped the number of zeros. Oh, it's 1 0 more, right?
Yep.
So you can look up that arrow as well. Will still not give you any help, but you can look it up. So that's the log files. Then the next question you have, how do I do this? We have a version we can play around with. You have a folder structure that looks like this. So you put all your files that you're going to install in the files directory. That's kind of, logic, right? So here we have all our files. You can see I have an update as well. So I haven't created anything with the Adobe Enterprise Deployment Tool. I let PS App Deployment Toolkit do that stuff for me. I have an exe file as well, which actually will set all the PowerShell security settings and everything. So you can actually run it just by saying deploy application.exe, and it will install. If you want to uninstall it, you say deploy application uninstall, and then it will uninstall it. Everything is handled in the PowerShell script, which is quite large. So here we have a pre-installation phase. So in this case, I've set show installation welcome, close running applications, Internet Explorer, Acrobat Reader. I allow you to postpone the installation 3 times, and I allow you to check if we allow you to persistent prompt and check this space as well. Why am I looking up there? So we can also have show installation progress, so you don't have to show that message if you want. I also have a command say remove MSI applications. So it will remove anything in the add remove programs that call Adobe Reader. So I don't have to care about which version is installed before and uninstall commands. Just write remove MSI applications, Adobe Reader. It will uninstall Adobe Reader before it installs this version. I can also install a patch. So here's the command line for the MSI file, and there's the patch for Adobe Reader 11.0.0.6 underneath it. So I don't have to do anything else. I can just type that in there. And you can also customize the show installation prompt message in the end, saying that the installation is now complete. So this is where we do everything. And then your next question would be, which commands can I use? And that's also nice. Because the guys creating this has created an excellent help file for us as well, with all the commands available for us in a nice format as well. So here we have all the commands you can use. I personally love, this one is quite nice. You can install SCCM software updates as part of the process. So it will actually scan the installed application, scan the computer for missing updates, could be Office, for instance. We'll install them and then continue the next step. So you can actually include software updates as well, so you also have a patched Office when you upgrade Office. You can do a lot of other stuff as well, so just start playing around with it. It's truly, truly awesome if you haven't used it before. You can update group policies. Yeah, you can read on your own as well, of course. Sorry. So it's really a neat tool. So let's see if I can get this working as well. I hope I did my...
So how do I change the branding?
Good point. That was more than a minute as well, right?
Yeah.
So the branding is basically a file. And I have another file that we're going to replace it with. And what happens now if I run it again? Well, as it will uninstall all versions of Adobe Reader, as it says, I can reinstall run the installation over and over again, but not that way. This would probably work better. I told you I can't talk and do something at the same time. So, the logo wasn't that good, but it's really easy to change the logo. And again, really want to stop Internet Explorer. I say I will post this time instead. And then let's see if I prepared a new command line for us to use in here. I did, right? No, I didn't. Nah, then we'll jump ahead instead. So that's how we can use it as well. Then you have the next question you're asking is, if we're talking Configuration Manager 2012, should I run this as a package and program, or should I run it as an application? Basically, it doesn't matter. The problem you will have with an application is that you can't control in the same way when it should rerun if you postpone the installation. So running it as a package and program will give you more options if considered from the PS App Deployment Toolkit perspective. You will lose the application functions, of course. If you use it as a package program, you can also do, there's a lot of other command lines you can add to it, like uninstall, install. You can do silent if you want to use the same package program in its own sequence, for instance. You can just create a new program saying, deploy application, silent, and then you can include that in the TOS sequence to deploy the application. So it's a big, I'm not sure which is the easiest one, actually, to use. But as I said, I love this tool the most of all. But I think it's truly awesome. It saved me in many, many cases. So why are you starting application catalog, Stefan? Do you want to order an application?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. But how do you handle the approval that you have up there in the end?
That's a really good question, Jörgen. And let's move over to the slides again. To handle the approval, basically, when you do the request, if you set an approval on an application, it will end up in the Configuration Manager console. And then you, as an admin, can do the approval of the application. But that's not really how you want to handle the process, because you want to delegate these tasks to other people in the organization. So there are two tools out there. Cortec has made a fantastic tool, which is called the Cortec Application Approval Workflow. You basically install it. It will install a web service. And you need to have the manager attribute defined in Active Directory. So if I, as Stefan, request an application, the request will be sent by an email to my manager, Jörgen. And Jörgen will get an email where he can approve or reject the request. And when that is done, I will get the application. So that's a really smooth way of handling the application approval. There are other features where you can set up a secondary email. So if someone doesn't have the first manager attribute, it can go to the service desk. You can delegate the task to service desk. So that's a really nice tool to handle that scenario. if you're more into Orchestrator, there's actually a blog post out there on TechNet about how you can do it with Orchestrator instead. But this requires System Center Orchestrator. And then you will do it with the runbooks. So it will actually do the same, where you can work with the SDK in Configuration Manager and get all those details. And with Orchestrator, you can extend it the way you want. If you want to have another database, or you have a CMDB where you have other relations, you can use Orchestrator to take those tasks away. So that's a great tool. And then the tool Jürgen talked about earlier, which we had some issues with, is the application importer. It's a great tool to, from an end-to-end scenario, create an application. So what it actually is, it's a UI for you to import applications into Configuration Manager. It will automatically create an AD group. It will automatically create a collection. It will automatically distribute the content to the distribution point group. So let's jump into, I can show you how it looks.
And of course, this can be done with PowerShell as well, Stefan.
Yes, but I'm a UI person, so.
Okay.
Sorry about that. It's not there.
It's not? Must be.
It was there earlier. Let's see where we have it. Okay, let's Jürgen talk about the next slide, and I can find the files in meanwhile.
So. Okay. So, while Stefan is finding our missing .exe file, let's talk about documentation. Who thinks documentation is fun? Oh, Christ. Oh, of course, Jason. Well, that was about 0.01% of the audience, if someone's wondering. David O'Brien, a fellow MVP, has made a great, great script for us that actually will automate the whole documentation process. So it will actually open Word. You run a PowerShell. You need Word installed. I'm not sure if you still need the English version of Word, but it could be good to try it if the Swedish one doesn't work for you. And then it will create a report for you with basically all the settings in your environment. We will soon display demo this as well. It can take a long, long time to run, so take that in mind. 20 hours, if you have a huge environment, that's something you can count on. So it takes a while to run, but it's a great output it provides you. So if you haven't documented your environment before, maybe it's time to do it this way. We also have some great Visio icons for documentation. That's also created by another fellow MVP, and it's available at the TechNet Gallery as well. So, Stefan, are you ready?
No. Let's do the documentation script instead. So, let's do like this. Everyone loves Notepad, right? It's a kind of huge script. So what you need to do, you really need to launch off the PowerShell. I've done a fake, not a fake, but a little bit quicker here. Edit, and we do a paste. That didn't work, so let's do it again. So what you need to do, you need to launch the script. You need to give it some provider input. So where do you find the SMS provider? What company name do you want to have in the report? What kind of cover page do you want? And what username do you want to display that's been the user running it? Or so it could be your consultant firm, your own internal person or something. So let's kick it off.
So what you're saying is I shouldn't install Word on my primary site server then?
Kind of.
Okay.
So you can run it from your workstation instead, of course.
Then I have to uninstall it when I get home.
Do that. So it will kick off. It will start Word in the background. It will generate a lot of data here. It will take some time, as Jürgen said. So we prepared a report to just show you how much data it is. So let's cancel this one out. So the output is a really nice formatted Word file with a lot of information about sites, distribution points, hierarchies, site boundaries, formatted in a really nice way. So that's a great tool for you to use to save time. All the settings are also documented.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So if you haven't documented your primary site or your configuration manual environment before, the only excuse you have left is that you're not using Word now, right? I guess that one will be hard to solve. Did you find the application importer?
No, not yet. So Dave, are you ready to... Sure. Sorry?
Of course.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So while we're waiting, Do either of you guys do a little song and dance?
Stefan, that's you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a singer, so...
Do we have any volunteers in the audience, maybe?
I know Kent is a great Danish... Jason dances, all right, that's great. Can imagine. What, you're on 8?
Yep. We can go ahead and go over 1.
So, why do we have Dave on stage? It's his community session. Microsoft actually has a lot of great tools within the toolkit. And there are some new releases that's come out, and there's also great tools here. So, Dave, why don't you introduce yourself? So.
Yeah, I'm Dave Randall. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft team. I don't really want to steal any of the thunder from these guys. You guys from the community have built a great set of tools, and but I wanted to just make you aware that with R2 release, we had a couple of new tools that were available. DP Job Manager, Collection Evaluation Viewer, and the Content Library Explorer. I know a lot of you have been frustrated when you look at a DP, there's just a bunch of files and a bunch of crazy names, and it's difficult to figure out what exactly is going on there. So Content Library Explorer certainly as a tool to give you visibility into the single instance store is extremely helpful. The other ones, DP Job Manager, help you troubleshoot your distribution points, and Collection Evaluation Viewer, helping you get a little bit rid of that black box of understanding what exactly is going on in the back end for collection evaluation so you can see exactly what's going on. I'll let you go ahead and pull down the latest toolkit and explore those on your own. The next one that I wanted to talk about was Support Center. So Support Center was just released last week. There was a beta that was available. Some of you may have had the opportunity to try the beta of Support Center. How many of you have checked it out? Small number. It looks like about only maybe 10 or 15%. So Support Center was really built around the idea that there's a lot of information going on the client. It's difficult to figure out. It's difficult to correlate data from different log files and between WMI, between all the data that's stored there, and common troubleshooting scenarios on the client side. It's really a fairly difficult task. And a lot of times, if you're making a call to CSS, they say, well, can you grab all the log files? Or can you grab this? Or can you grab that? And the idea behind Support Center was really to make it a one-stop shop for you to grab all of the information off the client and either review that yourself from your own desktop using the Support Center tool viewer, or to be able to forward that information over to the support team. So customer support is getting wind of the Support Center, and they'll be using that to be able to browse the log file and information that you upload. So link is there for what was just released last week. Go ahead and download that and install it. It's available to install on clients or servers. And I wanted to just take a couple of minutes and give you a quick tour and give you an idea about some of the common scenarios that you might be able to leverage with the viewer. So first off is client details. These look pretty straightforward, very similar to what you'd see in the control panel. So not too much there when you initially connect and load that information. But let's say that your client wasn't, in fact, registered. Now, usually the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to go look at a bunch of log files. And I know that oftentimes the specific log files that you're looking for or the log information is smattered across several log files. So we've built a log file group. And let's say for client registration, you were having an issue and you wanted to figure out what was going on. So you can grab this log group, load it up, and what it will do is pull in automatically all of the different log files associated with client registration. So if I scroll over here, my apologies, I'm going through my phone, so this is a little bit slow in a Wi-Fi hotspot. But you can see that we've pulled up CCM Exec, CCM Messaging, Location Services, all of the relevant log files to help you troubleshoot that one specific scenario around registration. And you saw I had a couple of other log file groups that I could pick from, inventory, app management, policy, and software updates. And you say, well, that's great, Dave. Maybe I don't really understand exactly everything that's going on in those log files. Is there something that you can do to help me out a little bit more? So under the troubleshooting, we have the ability, again, for registration, to view some additional data that's specific to Support Center. So we understand in general what tasks are supposed to happen for a bunch of these different troubleshooting areas. And we built in some code that goes and runs a bunch of different tasks in the background and then indicates to you whether or not you've got a problem on the client for this particular area. So even though I don't have something for client registration, I can double click on that or any of the others, and I can see a list of all of the activities that took place. So rather than going through that great big long list of all of the log file entries that was in the registration, while that might be helpful, this is a much quicker and easier way to get to some very specific troubleshooting scenarios. So extremely helpful there. I'll go ahead and close that. And let's take a look over in content. Now, in content, I went and reloaded my content list. And in this particular device, I've only got one package that I've deployed, my toolkit, oddly enough. When I select the toolkit, you'll notice I'll get some details about that particular package. And I've also got some actions down at the bottom. So remember, we're connected to a client. We're connected directly to the SDK on the client. And we can now trigger a variety of things to happen interactively here in the tool. So if I click refresh, I'm probably not going to get anything. I deployed this to be available sometime in the future. So I did want to give you an idea of some more information that you could see if you were not in a desktop that doesn't have anything. So see if I can get back to my device. Okay, so I've got Support Center loaded on my laptop here, and I've got a whole bunch of applications that have been deployed. So this is kind of what it looks like in a much more fully populated and client. And I've got a couple of deployment types that are there, and I can click verify and download. I think I can. All right, it's hiding way back here. And what I will get then is a list of the different distribution points that were associated with this. So this is when I clicked verify download. Sorry, it popped up in behind. But I'll get the content troubleshooting, and I'll see a list of distribution points that were associated with this and how my boundaries were resolved. So in the event that I had a specific distribution point that was failing, I can also click on that information and get more details about exactly why. So from the client perspective, you can actually figure out issues that are happening on your distribution point by re-triggering those same types of activities that would normally be there when you're connecting from your distribution point. So rather than debugging on the server side, you've got an opportunity to debug your server issues from the client side, the way the client actually sees them. All right, the last thing that I wanted to take a look at was the viewer. The viewer has the ability, let me go one step back. So data collection. Data collection is the opportunity that you, this is the place where you go grab all of the client log files, policies, certificates, debug dumps, all kinds of information that you or support may need to figure out exactly what's going on with this particular client. Now, when you do this, it's going to go and create a zip file. That zip file, nothing special about that zip file. It's just a zip of all of that content to compress it down. But then you can use the viewer to open that particular bundle. In addition, with the viewer, you have the ability to open up a regular log file. So if I had just a log file that I wanted to open up, maybe my app enforcement log, I can use the content, the viewer, log file viewer, to pull that up. Now, the log file viewer is similar to SMS Trace or CM Trace in terms of all of the different log files that you can view. We're not getting rid of CM Trace. We're not replacing it with this. Support Center does require .NET 4.5, so we realize that there's some scenarios where you're still going to want a good trace viewer that doesn't require .NET 4.5. So we'll continue to leave both of those there. But much of the same exact functionality exists. You can, in fact, look up error 8004005 and get the same no information from within here. We haven't helped you out with that one yet. So there's a bunch of hidden gems in this particular tool, and I just kind of wanted to give you a quick insight into some of the different capabilities and leave you with the opportunity to go try that out for yourself, explore. There's help online for all of the different feature areas. And I know that for Stefan, there's a great UI. For Jürgen, there is PowerShell. So there is PowerShell support for Support Center, so you can remotely connect out to your other devices, and you can trigger Support Center to go grab all that log file information and dump it off into a central location for you. So you can either do that through Config Manager package, or you can do that remotely through PowerShell. So that's all I've got. I want to head it back to continue on with the community.
Thank you.
It was a great run through, Dave. And while we were doing that, we actually found a missing application. It was hiding in a very, very
modern,
strange mode. Location, the start menu. Go figure.
Oh, yeah. So what you can do here is actually, today it only supports MSI files, but so let's do a demo here, Word Viewer. So you point out the MSI file. If you have MST, you can add that as well. We have a prefix, or actually we can show you the settings first. Let's zoom in, maybe. So what you need to do first is to configure the tool to connect to your site or in your SQL. And you put out the application root folder where you have your application root. Under applications, you can do setting up which distribution point it will go to, what limiting collection, and you should not use the all systems collection, as you learned the other day. And then Active Directory, in what OU will we create the groups in? So that's what you need to do in a configuration-wise. So what we do here, we import it, and we don't want to have Microsoft in front because then the length is too long. It actually reads out from the MSI file the version and the GUID. So let's point out where we want to put it in. Put it under applications in the configuration manager console. And then we just do an import. If we go into users and computers, we can have a look on the applications. It has created a group for us. If we open the console, it has created a collection for us. And the little issue we found is that it actually deploys the wrong application currently. But we talked to Matthias yesterday, and he will fix it. So it's just a minor bug. But actually, it automates everything end-to-end. So there will be further developments of this tool, and that's the only one we've found currently for 2012. There's a tool available that Cortec created, but that's for 2007. So let's move ahead. Application.
So let's continue with client operations. There's a couple of tools here that probably all of us use. There's probably some that we don't use, but still worth mentioning a lot. This is also the tools I love the most. The Client Center, I'm sure most of you have used it. If you haven't, go do it. It's definitely, we've had a lot of discussions what we do say, but the can't live without it tool would be a nice description, perhaps. It's really great. Written by Roger Sander, it's fantastic. For troubleshooting the client's troubles, application distribution, inventory, everything. Running tasks on the client, it's fantastic.
So why don't I want to use the Support Center tool instead of this one?
Good question. Maybe there's still some features not in the other tool, right?
Yes.
So there's four different versions now. You have a ClickOnce version, x86, x64 version, and you have a web-based version as well, if you want to run it directly from a web page. We'll come back to that in a couple of minutes. Right-click tools. There are so many right-click tools out there. They are amazing. They truly are. Rich Hutchins wrote some of them. They're PowerShell right-click tools, and they're right-click tools from Dan Ireland. There's so many right-click tools that they could fill a page, basically. But still, they're worth mentioning. It's really, really good extensions that you can do with the right-click tools.
Yes, and there's certain things you need to consider when using them as well, which Jörgen will go through in the demo here. So let's move over to the demo.
So what is right-click tools for those of us who don't use it? Well, basically, it adds to the possibilities in Configuration Manager by extending the menus for the different contexts you're in. The biggest difference between these tools and all the other stuff you do in the console is that it's actually the machine that you run the console on that would remotely connect to the client and execute the task you want it to do, right? And if you look at the tools in here, maybe you don't want like Service Desk to have all these tools, say like remove the client, reboot device, shut down device, and you can actually do the same thing for a whole collection. We could potentially be quite bad as well. And also, you need to configure the firewall rules as well, right? As it's the client that you run the console on that needs to be able to run the commands on the client computer. I strongly recommend that you install the Configuration Manager console on a terminal server, remote desktop server, and have them use it from there. Then you can control which extensions are used, and please, if you do that, edit what, you almost had me there. Edit what settings or what tools are visible. So it's not hard. You have the extensions in an XML file. So it's really, really easy to open the XML file. And here you have all of the tasks. So it's really easy to delete. Well, system information is one of them. You can just delete that part of the XML file, and it's not visible in the console anymore. So it's really, really useful. And it's really, really good way to do it. So I think you really should edit that one so that you don't give the Service Desk permission to shut down a whole collection, perhaps. Or yourself, if you're tired and clicking, and yeah, you know. If you don't use PowerShell, you could do that as well. Just a quick look at Client Center as well, when it starts. It is actually a great tool. I love applications, for instance. Which applications are installed on the machine? Which advertisements are available for the machine? You can run all the tasks you want to do and more that you don't want to do as well. So there's a lot of possibilities with this tool.
A common way to use it, if you still use packages and programs, if you want to do a rerun on a machine, you can do that from an action here. So, but that's only for packages and programs. So that's a really common scenario to use this tool for Service Desk to execute that.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't tried it out, you should definitely do so. It's great. So back to the next.
We have a fellow MVP, Rob Marshall in UK, who has created a great tool. It's a UI-based tool to connect to your site server. So it will graphically display how many files there are in each inbox. So if you experience problems with backlogs and such, you can get the graphical UI to have a look at that real quick. And it's a great overview. So it's a great tool.
And Rob is a busy guy, right?
He is. So how many of you are using Client Push? That's good, not too many. For those of you who are using it, it's a great tool to have a look on what's going on. So it actually will display all the Client Push requests that are available or running currently. And if you've enabled that, you can use the delete selected, or you can delete all of them if you don't want to do the Client Push. So that's also a great tool.
That's also useful, right?
Yes. And then we have the reg2mof, which has existed quite for long. It's a tool if you want to extend your inventory for certain registry entries. You can use a graphical tool to browse the registry, point it out, and you will get the output files for your configuration.mof and your SMSDFmof for 2007, and the configuration.mof and the export you need to do for the.
Do you want to quickly show it, Stefan?
Yeah, why not? So this is the UI. You just browse what registry entry you want. So if you're on 2012, you get the configuration.mof things you need to put in, and the thing you need to import in the client settings for the inventory. If you're still on 07, you have the SMSDefmof edit and the configuration.mof edit. So it's a great tool for that.
And if you're still on 2003, we pity you a lot.
Yeah.
But you could be.
Of course.
So, okay, more tools. Poshcat, aka SCCM Client Action Tool from Cortec, and Kaido more specific. An excellent tool as well, written in PowerShell with the UI, Stefan. So you can actually run tasks against one or more computers without the console installed, basically. So it's really, really useful as well. And it's really useful as well because there's a lot of features in there. So have a look at it if you haven't tried it out yet. Definitely. Should we continue? I think so.
Why not?
Okay, so JSON Sandy startup script. If you're not using it, you should. Or as someone told me with the speaker room before, if you're not using it, you're doing it wrong. It's actually fantastic. I use it in every installation I do. I recommend it to everyone when I do training. It's great for migration scenarios, and it's great for even for upgrading client, for instance, making sure that it works. It's truly an awesome tool. You create a script, you create a group policy, you run a computer startup script, you create a little file share, so you edit the XML file, and it actually will install the Configuration Manager client for you. And it doesn't need any tattooing ADM files that you need to set any settings with. It's possibility to patch the client during installation. You can run WMMI diag and have the output to a file share, so you can actually see which client that could be broken, at least, so you can troubleshoot them as well. So I used it in many, many times, and it's really, really good. And it's also there if you have local admins that are trying to be funny and try to uninstall the client or something like that, it will get back on. If you have maybe not that much control, so somebody joins their own machine on IT because I don't want to be managed, it will still get on there as soon as they log on to the main. So it's really, really useful. If you have any questions for it, Jason is here in the room as well, so then I don't have to answer them. So, Stefan, should we start wrapping it up?
Yeah, I just want to show you the inbox tool as well. So it's just an .exe file. You start, you connect to the server you have the site server on, and it will display all the inbox folders, how many files are in. So it's really, really handy. It's really simple to start. So, oops. So, as this is a community session, I started the Swedish user group, System Center user group, 2008. We're around 600 members today, so that's kind of fun to see it grow. If you're not involved in any of the user group, it's a great way to learn more about tools, get involved, share knowledge, and also consume a lot of knowledge. So, and there's other pages. A lot of activity has moved over to the TechNet pages. There's great forums where you can ask questions. There's wiki pages with a lot of information you can use. And then there's two great System Center communities that are really big. It's the MyIT Forum, which I guess most of you know of. Then there's the System Center. And that's a way for you to gain knowledge really quick and learn stuff about System Center. And then there, of course, is millions of blogs out there. But those are the biggest communities out there.
So, well, wrapping it up, all the links from these sessions and all the links to all the tools we didn't have time to show We actually put them on a TechNet wiki page. Instead of providing them as normal, you can switch to the other machine and you can see the whole list, Stefan.
Okay, that's the way to do it.
So here are all the links to all the tools we showed today and all the links to all the tools we didn't show today as well. And why did we put it on a wiki page? Well, it's about contributing, right? So if there's a tool you missed that we haven't seen, please add it so more people can use it and see it as well. So that's the beauty with a web wiki page, is that anyone can edit it with a Microsoft account, right?
Exactly.
So that's a long list, and we have probably only covered half or something. So, once again, we would like to thank everybody who contributed to the community in any way. You are truly the stars and truly a great resource for all of us who work with it, and it's great fun as well. So, we only have one thing left before we have drinks at Ask the Experts, right? So if there's any questions you would like to take now, we can do it now, or you can take it later on. So I guess everybody's running off to the right part there, right? So thank you.